get my husband to play with this. Oh, there we go. It's on now. It's the best way to fix electronics. Just go do something else and they fix themselves. Well, good morning. My name is Carolyn, as Ed referred to earlier. Some of you I've already gotten to chat with and get to know a little, but I'm just going to give you a quick Reader's Digest version because sometimes it's nice to know who's up there talking and whether or not you should listen. So we are the proud parents of four sons. Our oldest son lives in Delta, British Columbia. Our next two sons live in Calgary, Alberta, and our youngest is here with us in Cranbrook. We moved in exactly 2 weeks ago to the day. We were living in Calgary for 2 years. Prior to that, we were in Surrey, British Columbia for 15 years. I had the privilege and honor of pastoring preteens for 8 years. So 10, 11, and 12-year-olds, also worked as an editor at the church and some other roles. And whatever our senior pastor asked me to do, I did, because that's a wise thing to do. and that did sound like kind of like a, no, not saying that at all. For those of you who are picking up on that, oh, really, is that how it works here? No. But just an honor and a joy. If I'm speaking and I break into a moment of immaturity, you'll understand where that comes from, having worked with preteens for many years. But it's wonderful to be here, and I was just telling somebody before the service how this word that I feel God's laid on my heart for today, it's kind of interesting because we came here the end of January just to kind of see if we felt like this is a place where God was directing our steps. Our pastor in Calgary said, I think you need to go knock on that door. And so we said, yes, we will. And we left saying, you know what, we feel this could be right. We're going to turn this over to the hands of our four square leaders who we love and respect and trust with this decision. And we're going to trust them with the decision. And about a week later, 2 weeks later, I went down to Kalispell. I'm kind of an adventurous person. I like to explore. I like to just drive. And my husband's so great to let me explore and pay for the fuel and all that good stuff. So I'm like, I think I want to go to Kalispell. There's a few things we need from the state, so I'm going to drive down. And I think I also just need time to pray and seek the Lord on this and see indeed what he's saying. And it was during that trip, I stayed one night over by myself in a little hotel and had purposed to take some time to journal and hear from the Lord. And as I was there, I felt him giving me the word for this Sunday, which I think is really interesting because at that point, we had no idea which way things were going to go. We didn't know that we were going to be here for certain. It wasn't until the end of February that the process kind of picked up in its seriousness. And so I am praying that I've heard from the Lord as I thought I did and that I can communicate this to you clearly today. But today we are going to start a series on new beginnings, and we are going to talk today about the tension between loss and gain. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to me to Acts chapter 1, or flip there if you have an electronic device. That is a Bible too. Go for it. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 4 today. So just a little backstory. When I was 12 years old, we were living in Halifax, Nova Scotia at the time. That's where I was born. And we were living in this bungalow, three-bedroom bungalow, and in that bungalow, I had a room right next to my parents' room. We'd been living in that particular house about a year. We had moved from a block down, so we lived one street down, and this was a big deal. We moved a block up, and I had not remembered any moves in my childhood, so this was a big deal to move one block up. And I remember laying there in bed one night and hearing them talk. And, you know, you're not really supposed to overhear those conversations, but this particular one I overheard. And they were talking about moving to Calgary. And we had been there a year before. My uncle had already moved to Calgary from the East Coast. And I was listening to them talk about this and the emotions that started as a 12-year-old going, my friends, change, what's that going to be like? So I had this whole night where they were talking about it. I maybe heard half an hour of the conversation of crying and anxiety and yet a little bit of excitement because of that adventuresomeness and whatever, and going, how do I do this? Like, how is this going to work? Well, long story short, we did end up moving to Calgary shortly after that. And that by that time I was 12 going on 13. And I hadn't really experienced any kind of significant change in my life up until that point. Same church, same neighborhood, same school. So nothing very big. And it was a big transition and a new beginning. And there were many other new beginnings to follow, because from that point, my father decided to join the RCMP. His first posting was in Manitoba. We ended up transitioning to Manitoba. I ended up transitioning myself back to Calgary when I graduated. Through our years of marriage and raising children, we transitioned to Surrey. We transitioned back to Calgary. And now here we are in Cranbrook. So many new beginnings, many new transitions. 3 years ago, we were in Nova Scotia for the Foursquare Convention. We were there for 2 weeks, and it was about that time we were contemplating leaving Surrey. And this was a bit of a big deal, because in our minds, we had pictured we will be in Surrey forever. Oh, did I flick stuff? Sorry. It must just flick automatically. All right. My sermon's going on without me. Don't you love that? So we're in Nova Scotia, and we're starting to ponder. We had been talking with our senior pastor in Surrey, and he said, I think you're done here. I think you have done all you can do, and it's time for you to transition and take the next step God is calling you to. And so we were praying about what that looks like, and we had met with Barry Marston when we were there. He is our unit supervisor and dear friend, and said, would you have room for us back in Calgary if we came back to wait and seek the Lord and see what he has? And he said yes. Well, cue another very long night. That whole night at the hotel, I cried. I was anxiety, fear, excitement, all of those things again. What is this going to hold? What's going to happen? How do we leave these people we never thought we'd leave? How is this going to work? Another new beginning and another big transition. Last Sunday, we gathered here to say goodbye to Pastor Gordon and Jacqueline. And we said hello. And in that process, we said goodbye to our friends in Calgary, our church in Calgary, our home in Calgary, two of our sons in Calgary. Another big transition, another new beginning, but not just for us this time, for you as well. A big transition and a new beginning. New beginnings are a funny thing, because it seems that most of the new beginnings that we experience can involve saying goodbye to something in order to say hello to something else. And in our lives, we can find ourselves in this perpetual state of transition. When we buy a new home, when we start a new job, if we start a new school, these things continue on and on. And today I want you to listen with two threads. I want you to listen in regards to us as a church in transition, and I want you to listen in as an individual who may be experiencing transition in your own lives or going into a season of transition. I remember when we bought a new van. This is the first time using this clicker, so we might just say, next slide, please. We're a fair distance from the thing, so sometimes it cooperates and sometimes it doesn't. So we bought a new van, and I found out in that process, I am really sentimental about cars. So me in this van here, this is my old van in Mexico. I had driven it down for one of the missions trips I was on. We were buddies. This van and I, we had times together, we had memories, we went to camps, we went to music festivals. I put car seats in that van, my kids grew out of those car seats, but this van was dying. We couldn't get into some of the doors. If the temperature changed, we had to kind of pick which door would be the one accessible to get into it. It was making all kinds of funny noises, it was shaking. So I had to say goodbye to this van, even though the new one was a good van. A really good van, actually. And this is the tension that we experience in life of loss and gain. And all kinds of our transitions carry this tension, whether this tension is a good one or a negative one. And we consistently live life, next slide please, between two tension points. And at New Life Foursquare, we are in a season of new beginnings. As a result, we are living in this tension of loss on one side of the spectrum and gain on the other. Now, what makes it tricky is we didn't lose something bad for something good. It's a transition from something that what was to something that what now is, if that makes sense. And so you might be in your own season of transition. You could be in a season of experiencing a new job, or a new home, or a new child, or a new grandbaby. What does life look like in this tension of loss and gain? How do we as believers do life in transition? And we're going to look for an example from the New Testament. And we're going to start in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. I'm reading today from the New Living Translation, just a great conversational translation in modern day English. Starting in verse 4 says this: "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, 'Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?' He replied, 'The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" What's happening here is these disciples are going through a very significant time of transition. So they are going from where Jesus was with them in person on the earth to the promise of the Holy Spirit. And God said that back in the book of John. He said, "I won't leave you alone. I will send you a helper." And what I noted in this particular part of Scripture is that every significant transition from the Lord comes with a promise. So there's the season of transition coming for them, and God says, "I'm going to send you a helper." Jesus says, "I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." So he makes a promise to them. And I've noticed that other transitions in the Bible, they also come with a promise. So we have Abram, who left his home and went to another place, and the Lord promised that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. We have Moses, who was promised that God would lead him and the people into the promised land. We have David, who was promised an inheritance and a heritage and a legacy. We have Solomon, who was also promised that his line would not die out but would continue as he was obedient and faithful to the Lord. So to me, God's way of doing transition is to give us a promise. And so if you're going through a transition personally, I want to challenge you to look for what God has promised you in that season of transition. So, and if you don't have one, say, "God, I need a promise from you. We're approaching this season of transition. Would you reveal that to me?" Let's carry on in Acts 1, verse 9. "After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. 'Men of Galilee,' they said, 'why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return to heaven in the same way you saw him go.'" Now back in verse 10, it says, as they strained to see him rising into heaven, they watched. It also says they watched till they could no longer see him. And what I noted here is the disciples, they acknowledged the loss. So they didn't just kind of go, "Okay, God, you're leaving, see ya, we'll go and do our thing now." They stood there and they watched him go. They acknowledged the loss. And you might go, "Well, why is that worth repeating? They acknowledged the loss." Because I think so often we are falsely taught to hide our grief, to say that everything's okay even when there's a loss. When we're in transition, we're fine. We're fine. And I had some friends tell me once that there's an acronym for FINE. Does anyone know what it is? FINE: freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. So love that one. We're fine. But no, they acknowledge the loss. There was a moment there where they watched him go. David in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 13, verses 1 to 3, says, "O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die." Jesus wept. Jesus grieved. There is time to acknowledge the loss. If we look at the next slide, this is just one of my favorite little images I picked up in a Facebook meme one day. Stages of grief. And then it has my experience. And I think that's so true. So on one hand, you've got this nice, neat, tidy, here are the stages of grief that you will go through on a nice bell curve in a nice time. But the reality is it often looks more like the one on the right, this tangled web. Loss and grief over something isn't neat and tidy. Living in the tension of loss and gain is not neat and tidy. We can feel a mess sometimes. We can feel like we're experiencing an internal tug of war, back and forth between two sides. In this recent transition we're experiencing, you may have feelings. You may be going, I'm excited for new things, but I really miss Pastor Gordon and Jacqueline. And I want to tell you today, we're okay with that. It's okay to miss them. It's okay to say, we really like that they did this particular way. It's okay with that. We're okay. You can come and say, I miss Gordon and Jacqueline this week. And we're not going to think, oh no, they don't like us. That's not where we're going there. It's okay to feel the loss. It's okay to acknowledge the loss. I remember I once lamented, we were coming back from a Mexico missions trip, and I had the sense when I was there, not knowing that we were going to be moving away from Surrey at that point, back to Calgary, sensing that God was saying, this is your last trip. And I thought, how do I say goodbye to these people? I've been here nine years in a row, and I'm never possibly going to see these people again apart from social media. And God, why do you make it that there's so many goodbyes we have to say in ministry? And it's okay, because it's okay to have that sadness, that sense of loss, that sense of grief, and work through that with the Lord. And it's okay to be excited, too. When you're excited, that doesn't dishonor what's happened before. This isn't about being ruled by emotions, but it is about acknowledging that God created us to have emotions and feelings. And in our personal transitions, it's okay to acknowledge the loss. And again, we want to look for the promise of God's provision. Acts 1:12 to 13. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. I love this. They acknowledged the loss, but then they moved forward and were united in prayer. They needed to acknowledge the loss, but they didn't stay where they were. They moved forward. And David didn't either. In Psalm 13, that same psalm, verse 5 and 6, says, "But God, I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me." And this group of disciples, they didn't disband, but instead they united in prayer. Why? Because God created us for relationship. And togetherness allows us not only to acknowledge the loss, but it allows us to move forward. I have a picture here of a community. And if you look at world events, when tragedy happens and when loss happens, we often hear it brought us together as a community. This loss that we suffered brought us together. This is a group of people from the Grand Forks flood recently in BC, talking about the flood cleanup. It brings people together. In times of transition, when the tension is loss and gain, we need others. We need to unite together in prayer. And if you've experienced in your personal life times of significant loss and that tension of loss and gain, the temptation can be to isolate yourself. And I want to challenge you today, don't do it. Let other people in. Let other people come around you and help you with that. So we look for God's provision. We acknowledge the loss. And we move forward and unite in prayer. Picking up in verse 15, "During this time when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. 'Brothers,' he said, 'the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Jesus, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted a long time ago by the Holy Spirit, speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us. So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time that we were traveling with the Lord Jesus, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. Whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they all prayed, O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry, for he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. The next thing I notice in this transition is the disciples got back to business. Now, I want you to notice I didn't say the word is normal. I didn't say they got back to normal. We joke in our family that normal doesn't exist. We have discovered over many years there is no back to normal. There's back to a new normal. And they hadn't even received yet the Holy Spirit God had promised. At this point, they are still waiting. And yet, even in their waiting, they were digging in. They were getting back to business. They were taking care of things. They didn't remain in a state of transition. And when we go through transitions, there's a point where we have to continue on with what God's called us to and our responsibilities. They were busy. They didn't sit idle. And it's not an easy thing to do. We had a season in this move where our rental sold 2 months early, and we were living with a family from the church through the end of April, May, and June. And it was really hard to not just wait and go, well, the routines are shot anyway, let's just do whatever and let life happen to us. We needed to be diligent to keep up with the business that God had tasked us with and keep up with the routines that we could, even in that situation. So in transition, we ask for a promise from the Lord, we acknowledge our loss, we move forward and unite in prayer, and we get back to business. And picking up now, we're going to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. This is exciting, because in this transition, they experienced God's provision. The provision that was promised to them, here they experienced it. They saw it occur. God fulfilled his promise. God's provision here came with instructions to wait. Now, back in February, I had a chance to come and share with you all the word that God had laid on my heart at that time, and it was prepare for the journey. One of the instructions he had given me that in this potential season of transition, I want you to prepare for the journey by staying in my word and being diligent and faithful to it and making it a priority. And that as I did that, he would sustain me through whatever this transition held. Well, I didn't know at the time that our rental was going to sell early. I didn't know that our granddaughter was going to be 2 weeks overdue when we had only a window of time to visit, and I'm watching the clock tick and in tears going, what if she doesn't come before we have to leave Vancouver? I didn't know we'd be living with another family. I didn't know that our moving truck would cancel the day before we were supposed to load it to come here. I didn't know about any of those things. And yet in it, and all of the other little things along the way, all of the hiccups, God said, prepare for the journey. And he reminded me of his promise to provide peace to me. And he did that time and time and time again. People would say, aren't you freaked out? Aren't you stressed? Aren't you uptight? Like Ed was sharing earlier. And it's like, no, God gave me a promise, and he is going to provide, and he is providing for that promise. So exciting. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, and then we're going to also jump down to 32 and 33. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. So the disciples in transition, they had a promise from the Lord. They acknowledged the loss. They moved forward, united in prayer. They got back to business. They saw God's promise fulfilled, and they remembered. They remembered, and they weren't goofy about it. Sometimes we get goofy in our remembering. Like, oh, we can't mention those names. or we can't talk about that. But it's okay to remember. They understood that the work that Jesus did was necessary and the Holy Spirit's work was important and necessary. I want to remind you today that your transitions make up your story. The times that you've experienced loss and gain, along with your response, make you who you are today. I was just chatting with somebody about this before the service. We were sharing our story with each other and rejoicing and going, we have a story because of what God has done. We've had a story because of these times and seasons of loss and gain that he's brought us through. They acknowledged, they remembered what Jesus had done. I love altars, the concept of altars. Jesus or God had done this in the Old Testament time and time again. It told them to build an altar to remember. And some of you were at our house this last week, and I shared with you our photo wall. So we have our three kind of multi-picture frames of our BC memories, and we have two multi-picture frames of our Alberta memories. And that started out of a place of wanting to remember. So it started with me putting pictures in there of certain places in nature. I love to connect with God in the great outdoors, where he had spoken a specific word to me. And then it expanded to say, you know what, we all have memories, and each one of these people in these pictures, each one of these situations connect with something significant that God did at that time. It is okay to remember. It's not being stuck in the past, but it's acknowledging that the people, the transitions, the things we've lost, the things that we've gained, they're all part of a bigger story that God is doing. Final passage, Acts 2, verse 40. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. The disciples had a promise from the Lord. They acknowledged the loss they experienced. They moved forward united in prayer, got back to business, saw God's promise fulfilled. They remembered part of their story, and they entered a season of new beginnings, new opportunity, new growth. And as you, if you are familiar with the book of Acts in chapter 2, it doesn't end there at verse 41. It goes on to talk about the church building and growing. It didn't end. And our transitions, they launch us into a new season of growth. And growth, as you know, is necessary for life to continue. When something isn't growing, we refer to that as a failure to thrive. Those of you who are in the medical field particularly will know that term. The disciples were living in the tension of loss and gain. They were living in a season of transition. So what? What now? And I want to invite you to look at this picture of seasons. And I looked at her name, and I was praying through this yesterday. I have a chance on Saturday to come up and just pray through the building. And her name. Anyone know the name that's on the outside of the building there? Oh, good job. New Life. I'm reassured to know that you know the name. New Life. New seasons. Changing of seasons. When we look at trees, the seasons don't just happen once. They don't go through one transition and then go, woohoo, we're green again, and now things die, and that's it. Forever. Because if that's the case, you're dealing with a dead tree, right? Instead, every year, these seasons perpetuate. They continue to happen, new life, new beginnings. And as a church, we're going to go through many seasons of loss and gain. We're going to go through many seasons of change and transition because God is a God of new things. He is always doing a new thing. And with new things comes freshness and vitality, life. Transition perpetuates life. And we can fight seasons of transitions and fail to grow. Or like the disciples, we can embrace them and see new beginnings and new provision take place. And I want to reassure you from my own experience, as I've said before, many seasons of transitions, not just moves, but losses where, you know, the death of a close friend or those kinds of things that have happened, that I've found this to be true, that God is with me. He promises to be with us wherever we go. And every season, he has been with me. He has not failed me. He has given me his promise. He has sustained me. Sometimes when I wasn't even aware that that was happening. You've probably been in those kind of transitions where you're like, I am all alone in this. God is nowhere to be found. It's too heavy. It's too dark. I can't do it. And it's coming out of that where God says, I was there all along. I also know that his peace is with me, and not in the surroundings, not in the circumstances, because all of this changes constantly. We know that to be true even in life outside of the church family. Things change constantly. Dan, you referred to that earlier in the offering. Things change constantly, new ways of doing things, new methods. And so we find our peace in the stability, in the rock, in the anchor of the Lord our God, who does not change. He is the same. We have it written on our wall, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we live in the tension of loss and gain, and in seasons of transition, we are stretched. And I want you to think about for a moment a guitar. Too little tension on one of those strings, nothing happens. Lifeless. If we don't live in a season of tension, there's not a whole lot going on. Too much tension, that guitar string snaps, and it's no longer useful for anything. But in that midpoint of tension, that's where music is possible. That's where things begin to happen. And it's in our tension, in our lives in transition, in that tension of loss and gain, that's where the potential for new beginnings and beautiful possibilities occur. And this is true here in our church family, experiencing a very recent and very significant transition. It's not a small thing. This is a big transition. And it's true in our personal lives as we learn to live in the tension of loss and gain. So I want to challenge us today. Let's allow ourselves to be stretched. Let's allow ourselves to grow. And let's experience new beginnings together. And let's know that we're not alone in this. You are experiencing a loss. We are experiencing a loss. Those things might look different. But together we live life in this tension. And together we live in the possibility of new beginnings. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? So Lord, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, which makes illumination of your word possible in our hearts. God, I pray that you would drive anything away that wasn't of you that was said. And Lord, I pray that you would let your word stand. Lord God, that you would allow our hearts to hear what you want to say to each one of us individually as we live life in this tension. And this morning, I'm going to do this every week that I speak, and I know Ed will be faithful to this as well. But if you're here this morning and you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus, and what that looks like is we believe that Jesus came, died on the cross for our sins, which means he washes us clean, he gives us a fresh start, and promises us an eternity in heaven with him. If you're here and you say, you know what, I want to experience that kind of relationship with Jesus, I need a fresh start, I want to know that my eternity is secure, and you want to make that choice today, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I am going to invite you right where you are just to slip up your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody here like that this morning? All right. The second thing I want to pray, okay, I see that hand. So would you all repeat after me so that we can just pray together and support this individual who's raised their hand? Lord, I come to you, and I acknowledge that you died on the cross for me. Thank you that you promised forgiveness for me. I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I acknowledge that I've missed the mark. And I pray that you would forgive me, that you would wash me clean, and give me a fresh start. Lord, I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. And I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. And I embrace the promise in the Bible that I am saved. And I look forward to an eternity in heaven with you. In your name, amen. And if that was you this morning that raised your hand, I encourage you to tell somebody who brought you, tell somebody you've been introduced to today, and just let them know so that they can rejoice with you and also know if there's a way that they can support you. There's one other way I want to pray today, and that's about God's promise in the midst of transition. Some of you may be going through a transition personally, and you're saying, you know what, I need that promise from the Lord, and I need to know he is with me in this transition. And I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads again, just to allow some of that privacy. If that's you and you'd like me to pray for you that way today, I'm just going to invite you to raise your hand. All right. Thank you. You can slip your hands down. So, Lord, we pray for those who are here who are saying, God, I need a promise from you. God, I want to see your work in this time of transition. I want to be reassured of your presence as I walk through transition. God, help me in this time of loss and gain to see you at work. God, I pray that you would fulfill that desire. God, it says you grant us the desires of our hearts as we delight in you. So, Lord, I pray for these individuals that you would grant them this desire to see your promise. And, Lord, that they would not only know what your promise is to them, but then they would see that fulfilled. God, that it would happen in a powerful and mighty, significant way and become a part of their story. We thank you for this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you once again. Next week, we're going to continue on in this series of new beginnings, and we're going to talk about making a move. Now, I thought I should reassure you that we're not leaving this building, okay? So I thought, you know, if I post that, some people might get a little nervous there. So no, we're not moving out of the building, but we're going to talk about making a move. And so feel welcome to stay and visit with one another and chat with one another. And we'd love, if we haven't had a chance to shake your hand yet, we're not ignoring you. There's just a whole lot of you. So please feel free to come find us and introduce yourself. And you're dismissed.